Governor Cuomo called for marijuana legalization last year, but that bill fell in the Senate. With marijuana possession the number one arrest in New York City, Cuomo continues to promote the idea, saying these arrests have harmful outcomes, racial disparities, stigma, and fiscal waste. Interest groups like Normal agree with the governor, and Executive Director of Normal, Alan St. Pierre, joins us to explain why his organization travels around the country lobbying Congress and state lawmakers for more rational and cost-effective marijuana policies. Alan, thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning.
Last year, when the governor introduced the bill on this issue, it was immediately met with resistance. Do you think he has any better shot of convincing the legislature to pass a similar bill in New York this year?
Well, one hopes so, and not just because of our clear bias. This is simply where the public is at. When Normal was founded in 1970, 10% of the public supported legalization. Today, over 50% of the public does. And many listeners might know that the voters of Washington and Colorado voted in the 55 percentile to actually legalize it, sell it, tax it. So this is a cannabis conundrum, if you will, that politicians really need to face. And in this case, Governor Cuomo is doing so.
Why do you and your group believe there are benefits to legalizing marijuana in New York State?
Well, like alcohol prohibition, which only lasted 10 years, we're now into 75 years of marijuana prohibition, is that prohibitions of popular, otherwise reasonably safe products don't work in free market democracies. We certainly saw that with alcohol prohibition. It breeds disrespect for the law, increases criminal justice costs remarkably. Over 800,000 Americans are arrested annually on marijuana charges, 90% for possession only. And generally speaking, like with tobacco, we can drive down the use. In this case, I'm almost 50 years old. It's been reduced by 50% in my lifetime. We didn't make the product illegal. We didn't test people's excrement to determine if they were using it. We didn't racially discriminate, destabilize our borders, take away student loans. And we did it with the most addictive, problematic drug that people interface with. So the lesson's pretty clear. If your government really does want to reduce the use of a particular drug, making it illegal doesn't achieve that stated goal.
Oh, still, critics do say that marijuana can impair driving. We saw arrests around here recently for such a case. They also say that marijuana can send the wrong message to kids and that it is a gateway drug to other harder drugs. Do you believe that to be the case?
Well, of those three things, one, two, three, there is no gateway for marijuana to heroin or to cocaine. The first drugs that children use are alcohol, tobacco, caffeine, pharmaceuticals. They steal a pharmaceutical pill from a parent or a grandparent, and then marijuana. Marijuana is the first illegal drug that they may try, but it's not the first drug, and tobacco is the great gateway drug. People who would use 20 to 40 cigarettes a day, those individuals are more inclined generally to experiment with other drugs. Regarding driving, all responsible cannabis consumers should never drive while impaired, just like with alcohol. So the fulcrum, where the weight rests upon all this is between responsible and irresponsible use. So driving impaired, coming to the workplace impaired or school, etc., using the same mores and values we have with alcohol are completely applicable with marijuana.
Alan, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks. Take care.
You too. Alan St. Pierre is executive director of the group Normal.